Today's scripture reading is selected verses from John 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, from the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" she said to him. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hand and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I want to welcome you this beautiful spring day to worship, whether you are coming off of spring break or a really busy week at South by Southwest. Anybody, maybe? Yes, some. Or perhaps just enjoying watching all of the trees come to life and the birds build their nests and the flowers bloom and our sinuses just fill with not goodness. It's good to be together. What a way to pause in the midst of everything that is happening around the world and to take notice of God's goodness that is persistently pervading every nook and cranny, every grief and every fear, and every crack in the sidewalk presents a place where something new can grow. So we come together this morning with joy to give thanks for where we already see that happening, and with tender care, praying for that compassion that we just heard about in the story of Jesus, for that compassion to bubble up in places where we are just broken by war and loss of life and revelations that our heroes were not as heroic as we wanted them to be. And we come a little bit cracked open each week, don't we? Praying for God to tend to those wounded places in our hearts and in our world, to make those a place where something new can grow. I have watched some of the March Madness this week, keeping track of, have you watched some of the March Madness? Yeah, oh, applause for the basketball. keeping track of some of the surprises, some of the near misses. I was especially relieved to hear that the University of Texas women's team was not scheduled for the 11 o'clock time slot today, so that all the Longhorn fans can have every reason to be in church today, praying for what will unfold later in the day, and then for the men's team fans, giving thanks for all the miracles that have already been. What joy it is that I was actually more worried about that they would schedule the women's game during church. I thought, then they really won't be there. There is something about a basketball game that draws up a certain desire we have to believe in the miraculous, isn't there? You can see it on all of the faces. Even the blurred faces in the background of every highlight reel that shows that magical shot when the anointed player steps back behind the three-point line and lifts, and we all go into slow motion, don't we? The believers are easy to identify. They have their mouth wide open, eyebrows so high that they're meeting their hairline, and they are hands in the air. It's this. All across the whole crowd in slow motion. That is perhaps the posture that we can imagine Lazarus's friends holding as they waited for Jesus to come in, swoop in, and save the day. Lazarus was sick. And what they wanted, what they needed, what they most hoped for was for Jesus to beat the buzzer of death, to swoop in and to take that final shot and save Lazarus from death. I've felt that desperate desire before. Have you? No one felt it more than Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha speaks the words. She expresses the sentiment that all of us have felt at one time or another. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. God, I have seen the way that it's supposed to work. All the other people, I heard you tell them, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed your son. So I thought I did it right. I believed that you could come, swoop in, and save the day. I held out hope that you would. Even when I was afraid, I held on. I tried to have faith. But you let me down. You weren't here. You didn't make it on time. Just like in last week's story of the man who was born blind, Jesus seems determined to show us, Martha and Mary and all of us, that it isn't that simple, that faith is not a transaction where the ones who hold their mouth just the right way get what they want. These people in the story, they're believers. They're some of Jesus' closest friends and followers. They had every reason to expect that Jesus would come through for them, for Lazarus, whom Jesus loved. But it's just not that simple. The author, Lauren Winner, tells the story of a pastor's kid who's about to be confirmed. I have one of those, actually. This kid, Julian was her name. She came to her father, the pastor, and she said, Dad, I can't say yes to this. I can't go forward with this confirmation because I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can promise to believe all of these things that I'm supposed to believe forever. And her father replied, what you promise when you are confirmed is not that you will believe all of this forever. What you promise is that this is the story that you will wrestle with forever. Faith, friends, faith is less like being on the sidelines of the buzzer-beating shot and much more like being in the circle of a wrestling match. Martha does it. She wrestles with Jesus. She tells him what she's sure of, just like every person that we have seen all throughout these Lenten stories of close encounters with Jesus. Everybody Jesus talks to, they've all got to tell him everything they know, don't they? Everything they're sure of. Martha does the same thing. I know, even now, she says, even now, God will listen to you. I know that Lazarus will rise again. I know there will be a resurrection. But Jesus will not be stuck in the hold of what Martha thinks that she knows. Jesus breaks free of Martha's grasp and our grasp. And he expands our understanding of who he is and what he's here to offer. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Friends, I have to be honest and say, I am still learning what those words mean. I'm just like Martha and all of the others who are grasping at what they know. I'm quick to rattle off my standard convictions and my theological formulas. I've been well formed in the formulas. But just like Martha, Jesus wants to stretch my faith and yours beyond the conventional formulas. What he offers is not a transaction. He doesn't act because of Martha's faith. Did you notice? They never actually get there. He raises Lazarus before any proclamation of faith. His action calls forth faith rather than requiring it. It draws our faith up and out of the grave, just like Lazarus coming with his grave clothes on. What he offers is not a simple miracle of saving a sick man. Instead, he offers this expansion of what the categories of life and death even mean. Even though they die, yet shall they live. He points to the possibility that is held not in our faith, but in his identity. As long as Jesus lives, death cannot win. And in Lazarus, he demonstrates that this new life is not just for the end times, it's for now. God's promises are being made real today. Resurrection starts now. He's not even waiting for Easter. What he shows us is that even when death seems to be all around us, Jesus is already breaking its power. Every year during Lent, we invite you to write on the butterflies that are in your pews. I meant to grab one and hold it up for you, but you know, you have them. We invite you to write on those butterflies the things that you want to pray for. Prayers maybe for you, prayers for someone that you love, prayers for the world. And we turn those prayers over by sending them into one of these cocoons, a sort of grave, if you will. We place them in there, not like raffle tickets, hoping that Jesus will draw out the one that's ours to get answered. Rather, we place them in there to try once more to open our hands to the mysterious truth that the grave is not beyond Jesus' reach. We place them there to practice trusting that every part of our world, every person, every hopeless situation is within the reach of the one who is resurrection, who is life, in hope against hope that in his new life we will find ours. So may that be the mystery that you wrestle with this week. As we prepare for the feast of Easter, we're getting so close. Even as we look around and we acknowledge the stench of death among us, as we speak our disappointment in Jesus to Jesus, as we weep at the overwhelming evil that threatens to overtake us. May we open our hands, stop grasping, and instead let the one who is the resurrection take hold of us. Amen. Amen.